All right. Well, today we are joined by two wonderful guests. We have Marty Blackstock, and she is with Parkway Realty. And we also have Cindy Williams. She's the Vice President of Client Services at Info Retail. And we're going to kick off the hour with Cindy. Welcome to the show, Cindy.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I'm just going to jump in and read your bio, unless you prefer to
Okay.
kind of give an overview yourself. Sometimes that's a lot more interesting than me reading.
Well, just go for it.
Okay, I will do that. Cindy, as I mentioned, is the Vice President of Client Services at Info Retail, which is a strategy and design agency. She leads an interdisciplinary team in customer advocacy and acquisition, and she specializes in customer-centric relationships and collaboration to maximize the worth of brands and customer environments. Williams is a highly experienced in home furnishing and bedding markets. She is a dedicated mentor, a court advocate for foster children, and a candidate for a degree in psychology and criminal justice. Since joining Info Retail in 2003, Williams has led the agency's strategies in bedding and furnishing markets, serving a variety of international, national, and online retail and manufacturing clients, including Tempur-Pedic, Restonic, Dreamfit, Mattress Firm, Innovative Mattress Solutions, Lane, and others. Prior to joining the firm, she led a distinguished 10-year career in bedding as Southeast Regional Sales Manager for International Bedding Corporation and Manager of Specialty Sleep at Simon's Company. Williams is a member of the board at WITHIT, Women's Leadership Development Network in the Home and Furnishing Industries, and at the Better Sleep Council. She writes a regular column at Sleep Savvy, a magazine for sleep product professionals, and has contributed to publications including Home Furnishings, Business, and Bedtimes. Williams has spoken on the retail experience, the voice of the consumer, and the practice of service design at a number of industry conferences and trade shows. Resolved to be also a point of light in her community, Williams is founder and board member at a cost-free family counseling center in the North Georgia, Appalachian area. She has worked with court-appointed special advocate for foster children and is pursuing a degree in psychology and leadership studies at Kennesaw State University.
Go Kennesaw State.
Go Owls.
Yay.
Owls, there you go.
Well,
The
Cindy,
owls, yes.
Cindy, we have something in common because I am an owl too.
Oh, great. Well, great.
That's where I'll
Well,
be
thank
going
you.
after I leave here today.
Oh, well, yeah, I will, if I wasn't in Las Vegas, I probably would be there a couple of times this week myself, so.
Well, I think I'd rather be in Las Vegas,
yeah,
but.
Yeah, Cindy's the winner.
Oh, I don't know. Las Vegas can be a challenging place sometimes when you have to be out here for too long, so it's pretty noisy and crazy most of the time, but there's a big furniture market out here twice a year, so.
Okay.
That is why I'm here, yeah.
I gotcha. Well, I'm just going to jump right in and ask you how you started your career in the mattress industry. I think you're the first person I've met in the mattress industry.
Well, it was kind of by accident, but when I moved to the Atlanta area a number of years ago, I began working for Simmons Company there in Atlanta, and the career has just sort of evolved from there. But I really love the industry, and I have been a part of it in one way or another for about 21 years now. First half of it worked with bedding manufacturers in the sales and marketing areas, and then for the last nine with Info Retail on a more strategic marketing retail design side of the bedding industry. And we work in other industries as well, but my focus is in the home furnishings and bedding industry. So it's primarily, you know, a male-dominated industry.
I was going to ask you if that was
yeah.
the case, and what's that like working
yeah.
in a male-dominated
well,
industry?
It's been interesting. I remember when I first got into it, there really were no women. I mean, it was just unbelievable to me, and I found that kind of challenging. It was kind of hard for me to understand how men were making all the decisions about what women want in their homes without really allowing women into the I guess, the inner circle of decision-making. And I really wanted to be a part of changing that. And for a few years, I have to say, I kind of went about it in the wrong ways. I was sort of adversarial in my approach. And I almost tended, you know, I tended to resent the male leadership. But as I worked in the industry, I began to realize that I had a lot that I could learn from the men in the industry. And I decided to reach out to several and make them my mentors. And as it's turned out now, many of them are some of my very best friends and have taught me a lot about the industry and about business and careers. And I love being in part, you know, a part of an industry that's now more willing to embrace the voice of women and realize that, you know, they're realizing we have a lot to offer in this product category. So I really enjoy it. I've enjoyed it for a lot of years now.
All right. Well, it's good to play along. Everybody kind of help each other grow.
Now, that's true. That's true.
Do you have any women mentors, or are you kind of out there by yourself?
No. I have lots of women mentors. We, over the years, first of all, more women have gotten into the mattress industry and home furnishings in general. And I have met some incredible women along the way who I am mentored by that have made a big difference in my life. So absolutely. We can all learn from each other. It's been a fun time.
You'll have to check out one of my websites, millionairemoms.com. That's all we do is support entrepreneurs.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Well, you are, speaking of entrepreneurs, you're now in an entrepreneurial service agency, Info Retail Atlanta. Is leadership and sales different for you in an entrepreneurial agency versus a large corporations? And what skills transfer and what skills are required to learn?
I never really liked the word sales ever in my whole career, even though I've done a lot of selling. When I went to work for retail, I remember I told my boss that I'm not, or have I ever been a salesperson, but I'm definitely a relationship builder and a connector. And when I work with my info retail customers, it's really no different than when I worked with customers when I was in larger corporations. I really just attempt to listen and hear the needs. I ask a lot of questions, and I want to get to know not only the company but the people that I'm dealing with. And I find it really important to discover their dreams and then try to help them come true. So it's not really selling as much, I guess, as it is relationship building. And when my customers buy something from me, I've realized they're trying to achieve many objectives on many different levels. So it could be related directly to a specific thing. For example, they might need a new website or something like that. But I've realized that they need other things too. For example, they might want to be seen as a hero by their boss, or whatever this initiative is might help them get the promotion that they've been wanting. And I really need to take the time to find out what their motivations are, and not just the obvious things, but what their deeper motivations are in order to be successful at what I do. And that does require relationship building.
Well, that makes perfect sense.
Now, when you're marketing to different age groups, do you have the same, is there the one overarching strategy, or do you have a different strategy when dealing with younger people as opposed to, you know, boomers? How does that work?
Well, I don't really, I'm working more with industries than age groups, but what we have to be able to teach the industries that we work for is that they work, or they are selling products to many different age groups. So, for instance, in the bedding industry, it tends to, a lot of the manufacturers and the retailers in the bedding industry tend to continue to focus in on that boomer or on that generation that, frankly, is not going to be buying a lot more beds by, you know, between now and the end of their lives. And they tend to forget that there are these other generations coming up that have been raised in technology and have learned to shop and deal with retail in an entirely different way. So we have to teach them how to do that, definitely.
Got to come up with a mattress with a plug-in for your iPad.
Yeah, I mean, everything has to kind of be built around their ability to access information all of the time. And you can't market to, for instance, millennials the way you market to baby boomers. And that's kind of been a hard transition for the mattress industry to make.
Millennials are born 1984, is that correct?
I think that is correct, yes. Mm-hmm.
Definitely a change in guard there.
Yeah, they I guess they deal with media and and advertising differently?
Well, yeah. I mean, first of all, they have at their fingertips and know how to access any information about anything at any moment. And so they don't go into any type of a retail relationship without being really informed most of the time about what they want, what they're looking for. And when they start to get confused by the messaging that they're getting from the people out there in the marketplace, they get frustrated and they don't like to participate. So, you know, things have to be done very differently.
So do you enlist your creative design people in that process of helping your outside industry clients figure out, you know, this is the path that we need to take? How do you get that? Yes. How do you communicate that to them?
Yeah, absolutely. We are really, really blessed at Info Retail to have a group of very smart young people that work there and do understand the marketplace. So we all have to be pretty responsible for what we do and how we do it. So basically when I come back to the office after I've been out calling on clients and so forth, I've got to bring good information back that they can understand and translate. I use words and they use design, but they've got to kind of understand the business proposition a little bit. And then they've got to create solutions that meet all of the criteria. Sometimes that criteria might be that we're trying to capture that younger market for our client or the older market. And they've got to be able to work through that and then to come back to me and help me understand how that solution is actually going to meet the value criteria that the client has. And, you know, if it doesn't, then back to the drawing board. But everybody there has learned to not take things too personally and to try to think outside of their own kind of sphere of influence and experience in life, about the bigger picture. So,
gotcha. So when you're trying to maximize the worth in the customer environment, who are you thinking of, the shopper or the business provider when you consult with people?
We definitely are thinking about the worth of the shopper, the end user of the product. And the biggest challenge, frankly, and we touched on this just a little bit, but the biggest challenge in the bedding industry is changing the mindset of the manufacturers and retailers from being very product-centric to understanding that they've got to become consumer-centric in their thinking, in their marketing, in their product development, and so on. And they all realize that the marketplace is shifting and that consumers are in control in a way that they've never been in control before for the reasons we've mentioned, that information is readily available and there's so many ways to buy things now. But like I tell them, the change is inevitable and they've got to respond to it accordingly. And at Info Retail, I mean, basically we're focused on providing great experiences in all the customer environments, which goes far beyond brick and mortar now. A customer environment can actually be a smartphone or a mobile website or a kiosk in the middle of the mall. It can be any number of places. And the customer, that end user, the shopper, consumer, end user now chooses that shopping environment in which they're most comfortable. So businesses have to be ready to address every single one of those environments appropriately and consistently all the way through. So it's way more now than just brick and mortar. In fact, brick and mortars sometimes, I mean, there's a kind of a phenomenon now called showrooming, where people basically are going into stores for nothing more than to look and touch and feel, and then they go online and buy. So there's a whole different way that we have to interact with every customer environment now.
Things certainly have changed, and business has to be nimble.
Yes, it does. It does. Yeah. You can't just do it. You know, you can't just do it the way it's always been done. You got to be really quick. You got to be really alert and paying attention and willing to move in different directions.
Now, what's the minimum thread count you recommend?
Let's get to the important stuff.
I don't recommend any thread counts. I think that's kind of bogus, but that's just my opinion.
Oh, See how controversial, what a controversial guest we have.
We do.
I know.
I thought you were going to say at least 1,000
yeah,
or more
well,
Egyptian cotton.
1,000 thread count can mean a lot of things to a lot of different companies, so you have to be kind of careful.
See that?
But that's for another show.
Another show.
Yeah, I'm actually in the market, so Lee, you piqued my interest there on that one.
I was trying to help you out there.
I do appreciate that.
We can talk offline, and I'll help you out with that.
Yeah, I won't name the company, but it was a major retailer. I spent like an hour picking out sheets, and then I went to check out, and it wouldn't work. I was like, wow, that's amazing. They just lost several hundred dollars, but that's okay. So I'm going to shift over to some of your volunteer work that you're on the board of With It, a women's leadership development network. Well, you know I'm going to be interested in that one, so tell us all about it.
I'm so excited to be able any time to talk about With It. And but basically, With It started out as a support network of women in the home furnishings industry because there really was no support group. But over the years, I think it's been around for at least 20 years, it's expanded to just become this awesome leadership development network of hundreds of female and some male, we do let men in, movers and shakers and in many, many different home industries. So now it's gone outside of just home furnishings to bedding, hospitality, home improvement, you know, anywhere where there's a home industry. So, we don't have time for me to tell you really, truly everything that the group has meant to me personally, as well as professionally. But I can tell you that being a member, we have events throughout the year. We have a conference every year that's just incredible. And the best part for me is that I can pick up the phone at any moment, and I can call members that may be CEOs of a company. It might be somebody that has a television personality, let's say from HGTV or something. I can get advice and mentoring, and they always take the call. And that's an awesome responsibility when you're in business to be able to pick up the phone and ask a question and get some great advice from people that have been there. So I really enjoyed it.
Now, what's the website if people want to learn more about that group?
It is withit.org.
Easy enough.
WITHIT.org.
All right. So how do you balance your assertive nature to make things happen within your industry with collaboration to keep people all working together? What's the balance there?
By always remembering that in every single interaction I have, it's with a living, breathing human being. And that person is special. That person has all kinds of things going on in their lives, just like I do, that are really, really important to them and that are kind of framing the way they're viewing their day or that very moment. And I can never lose sight of that. And sometimes my energy and urgency can be kind of intimidating to people and make other people feel like, you know, they don't have a voice. And so I tend to ask questions in more of a statement, actually, than a question sometimes. And it makes people feel like they don't have any input. And I actually couldn't do without that input. So I have to take into consideration the way what I am saying or feeling or projecting is making that other person feel. And I guess to answer the question, I really have to know myself well. I've got to listen to feedback. And I do have mentors in my life that are very honest with me. And I think everybody should have that. And I've got to learn from what they tell me and keep a humble attitude about it. And I may have a bigger title than somebody else, but I'm no more important than anybody else. So that's kind of the way I view everything. I try to keep it in mind. It's not always easy in the heat of the moment, but that's my goal anyway.
Well, that's a worthy goal. So which kind of leads me to asking you, what is your X factor? What is it that you bring to the table that is uniquely you?
Well, I really like the fact that we've talked a lot about building relationships and connecting, but I really like the fact that I build relationships with people that last for years. And I'm really thankful for that ability because it's enriched my life. And I feel like I've had the opportunity to enrich other people's lives. It's real important to me. And many of the same people who I knew when I first got into the bedding industry, they're my friends. And, not so much because of what I sell, but because we have the relationship. So I just, it's always just really important to remember to build bridges and not walls, I think.
Build bridges and not walls.
Good one.
Like that.
Good catchphrase.
Yeah.
Excellent. I have to write that one down. So the final question I have for you is, what advice, after all that good information, do you have for our listeners who want to achieve extraordinary success?
I think that aside from really preparing ourselves by learning everything we can learn, you know, if you don't know what you want to know, you go back to school. Whatever, you know, find mentors. But I think that probably the most important thing is to learn who you are and learn to like that person, because we cannot embrace people and life opportunities, everything that life has, if we can't learn to embrace ourselves. I think that's probably it.
All right. Good sage advice from Cindy Williams, Vice President of Client Services at Info Retail. Would you like to give out any contact information before we sign off?
Yes, you can go if you want to contact me at cindy.williams@inforetail.com.